You belong, you belong, you belong, you belong to the Merry Marble Marching Society. March along, to the song of the Merry Marble Marching Society.
Welcome to the Road to Infinity podcast. We are here to talk about Phase 4. Hall H had their big presentation, and they've talked a lot since then. We're going to break it all down and get in as much nitty-gritty detail as we possibly can. So here, talk to me about it is Rob.
Hey.
Hey.
So we didn't. So, right. You know, we had these grandiose dreams of doing it like literally the same day.
Yeah.
Life happened.
Yeah, life happened.
But also, I think this is really great because, you know, we're not doing the, like, giddy, like, reaction where you would just listen to us for an hour and just go, oh, my God, that was so great.
Yeah. Like, can you believe?
Right? Instead, we have, like, now the benefit of, okay, now here's the real reaction, right? Because there's time, there's been other news that's come out, we have a whole lot to talk about, so there you go. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of stuff came out afterwards, like a couple of days after, as they started doing a little bit of the press rounds, that it was like, oh, that's a piece of information that we didn't have on that day, and oh, here's how that fits into this other thing. Yeah. So, all right, so let's cover some basic news. You said you had a couple of news pieces you wanted to talk about before we get into the Hall H stuff.
So interesting wrap-ups of Endgame and Far From Home. A couple Endgame things. Obviously, since I think we last talked, Endgame is now the biggest movie of all time globally.
Yes,
they did it. They're going to end up doing it probably by about $10 million, I guess, when all is said and done. I of course was like, well, that's great, until, you know, they're going to re-release Avatar to prep for the second Avatar movie, so that's probably only for about 2 years. Who knows? True. But
they also could re-release Endgame in this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the, oh, well, you got to see Endgame again too. No, but anyway, that's just kind of cool.
Disney's going to make all the money. I went to see The Lion King. And at the theater I went to, it happened to be just an 8-screen theater. I walked down the hall to go to my movie, and I sort of looked down to one end, and I turned around and looked to the other end and went, every movie here is a Disney movie.
Well, did you see? Wait, okay. So as we're recording this, did you see the story today about the box office of Disney?
Oh yeah, largest box office year in studio history.
They broke the record for the year in July.
We haven't even gotten. Let's see. I think there's another movie coming out in the fall that's going to help push that even higher.
Well, wait,
Star Wars. Well, no,
wait. On top of that, there's Frozen 2. And other things. Like, no. Hold on, everybody. Like, yeah, they're gonna I don't know if there's ever gonna be a year like 2019 ever again.
Yeah.
For a single video. They stack this deck so much it's out of control. But
and that's not even counting any box office from any Fox products. I mean, that's
just
the things that are purely owned 100% by Disney from calendar 2019.
Yeah, so this is, they're a monster.
It's nuts.
So the Endgame stuff. So here, we know, interesting, we're in the preparation for the video release of Endgame, which is this week for digital, and I think DVDs, I think, or a week or two later.
That's right.
So some interesting stuff. A lot of deleted scenes and other takes of scenes are kind of leaking out. I don't even want to say leaking. They're being put out there. The most interesting one is the I don't know what you want to call it, but the moment that Tony Stark dies, spoiler alert, you should know that already.
If you listen to this, you've seen it.
So he dies, and there's a whole scene where they all the Avengers sort of knelt down around him and Pepper.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. It's using the same music as the funeral scene, which I can see why they were like, you know what, it was just redoing the funeral scene, and there was no reason to have that moment twice. But it is interesting. It's very comic bookish. I thought it was like very, if you can just go ahead and Google it, and you'll see it, like, you know, the Avengers Endgame deleted scene, and it's just interestingly done. It makes you really wonder how much they actually filmed for this movie.
They
filmed much more than I think anybody realizes.
That's true. I was surprised they put out another little piece about that. I don't know if there's a name for it, but when all the female heroes are gathered together, the "We've Got This" scene, I was really surprised when they released behind the scenes footage of them actually being there. Like, I really thought it was, and with the, what we'll see with the funeral thing too, everyone says that was real. That was, everything they shot was actually there. Like, the only time they do CG on it was when a character was created from CG or enhanced by CG. All the women were actually on set that day in costume,
right,
to do that scene. Just like at the funeral, all those actors were there at the same time to film it. That boggles my mind. As someone who knows a lot of behind the scenes stuff of how the Hollywood system works, the sheer logistics of having to coordinate all those schedules, even for one day of shooting, must have been amazing. They could make a documentary about the person who had to put all that stuff together to make sure everyone was on set at the same time.
Well, I think the funeral scene, I think the most interesting story about the funeral scene is that, one, everyone was told it was a wedding. Did you see this? That they were all told. So they were all told it was a wedding. They show up, and as they're getting like dressed in wardrobe, they're like, well, this is kind of an interesting wedding because we're all wearing black, right?
And also, I think it was Tom Holland said, "Hey, where's Robert?"
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, he still thought it was a wedding. I mean, like, seriously, uh-huh. Like, right? But the joke was, and this is probably not a joke, the most expensive singular scene ever filmed in movie history, because the amount of money that it took. What they're saying is the amount of money it took to get every one of those actors and actresses there for that day.
Yep.
Yeah. The most expensive single scene ever put to film. I mean, wow. That's crazy. True.
There's multiple multimillionaires in that scene.
Yeah. So then the only other news I saw that I thought was relevant or interesting was I guess coming out of Comic-Con, where the writers of Endgame confirming mm-hmm. that Gamora is alive, and she was not taken away in Tony's snap. Which I think everyone kind of knew, but definitely the confirming it. And you can see that in the kneeling scene that we just talked about. There is a flash moment of Gamora looking at all of them and walking away.
Oh, yeah. I'd heard that there is another piece of footage about her after the battle.
Right.
I assume that's what that is.
And that's it. It's in that cut scene. So that'll probably be obviously in the digital or DVDs and all that other stuff. But
speaking of money, Spider-Man Far From Home has crossed $1 billion.
So apparently,
which means we're safe.
Marvel Studios continues to get to make Spider-Man movies.
Yes. Hooray. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Pumpkin bomb dodged.
Yeah, exactly. And good for them. I mean, that movie deserves it.
Yeah. Absolutely. It absolutely deserves it. It's just the weird machinations of the corporate entities.
So I think I saw it one more time, actually, since we talked.
Okay.
and it's great. I mean, the thing is still funny. There's a couple things you pick up. There's a Jake Gyllenhaal moment where Peter goes to go find the necklace when they first get to shop around Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where you can actually see Jake Gyllenhaal with a baseball cap on and like a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, he put out on Instagram, "This was my favorite outfit from
right
Spider-Man Far From Home," and it's him in like a loud Hawaiian shirt and shorts and a ball cap, and it was like, what the heck was that from? And then someone found it, and yes, that right in that scene, he, you know, Quentin Beck, essentially, before Mysterio ever meets Spider-Man, walks by Peter, and like, you know, he's like in the same scene, like walks by just slightly out of focus, but if you know, you can see and go, oh man, he was there. I think when the home video release finally comes out, they'll put together something and show us how deeply that was. Cause I think we're going to see almost all those people show up before we officially meet them in the bar.
That we're scoping him out. I mean, obviously that's kind of, that's brilliant. And then other little things that people have picked up on, like when you watch some of the battles, you see that the battle damage doesn't match up, which is part of the illusion. So like, mm-hmm. In the first scene where Peter, he's not in the Spidey outfit, but when he's as Peter, he's not mm-hmm. getting wet when he gets punched by the Hydro Man, but yet he doesn't get wet until later. Yeah, I mean, they actually went to that level of detail, which it's pretty awesome. I mean, that kind of stuff is like, okay, way to go. That's you're committed. And then I did see. And then there was some sort of confirmation from the writers about, as we have talked about, if you listen to our episode about the full Far From Home review, that there mm-hmm. is certainly a possibility that other MCU characters are secretly Skrulls.
Oh.
So that was Eric Sommers, the co-writer, was asked mm-hmm. about it, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's certainly possible. Wink, wink, wink. So that's interesting.
As we'll see when we talk about Phase 4 here, there's nothing cosmic in this list at all.
Right.
I mean, in terms of like out in space, you know, they're like Guardians of the Galaxy kind of stuff. There's no Nova. There's nothing in that way. So that scene with Nick Fury and being in space might not get answered until 2021, 2022.
You're right. That could be
phase five. Yeah.
And then the last thing was an interview with the director talked about that they had actually talked about people are like, well, did you ever think about putting Gwen Stacy in this or Sinister Six? And he's like, no. But he did admit they had thought of a Captain Britain cameo.
That's interesting. I think that's one of those things that's overdue. It would be very, very smart of that. And we're seeing in the next one a little wider scope of it. But I think they should be looking internationally. Like, we have a bunch of stuff that's all American based, which is great because, you know, America. But it would be nice to see some of the other international heroes that we know of besides our Wakandan friends.
Oh, what an interesting segue into phase four.
Yeah.
So that was it. That was all I had from Far From Home.
Okay. So if you want to watch the panel, some people have posted it online. The one I found and watched, the Hall H panel, has everything except for the video footage that they showed. But it's still pretty good. You get to see the reaction. So we're going to talk about phase four in chronological order, the order that they will be released in. When they did it for the panel, they were sort of jumping all over the place. Like, he was just filling in the map just sort of by, I guess, what would get the people most excited. So we're going to talk about it, what we know and what we've learned, all of phase four, which is what all these things are. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what we know about phase five.
Cool.
So, all right, let's get into it. So obviously the first one we'll see is May 1st, 2020, Black Widow. And finally in her own movie, the one we all knew was coming because they've been filming. It's really hard to keep it under wraps when you have crew walking with the logo on the back of their jackets and things. But we got to see a little bit more that it is definitely a origin story. That it's going to take place before she ever joins S.H.I.E.L.D. No appearance of Hawkeye. So they talked a little bit, or there's a little bit of rumors that something is going to be set in Budapest, but he does not seem to be involved in it at all, at least as far as we know. So this would maybe before whatever it is that they talk about in Avengers happened. We get to know the villain is officially the Taskmaster. But it's mostly going to be, I think, a lot of about the Red Room and the other Black Widow, the program, the system that put her through it. And that, what else did you pick up from?
Well, I did see, I saw some stuff. Comicbook.com had a couple articles that talked about that. I think there's some conflicting info because they are purposely trying to keep it a surprise.
Yes.
Where there would be scenes that maybe cut to Age of Ultron or Civil War. And that it might go around, it might have some shots that are either flashbacks or flash forwards to where the movie is set.
Okay. And you think it might be one of those, like, someone telling the story of Black Widow?
Perhaps. I mean, you don't know, it could be, but I think it's going to go all over that. The thing I found most interesting was there's a lot of people who think that Rachel Weisz is the Taskmaster.
Interesting.
Which, that would be kind of, I think that's cool. Look, because you can do whatever you want, right?
Sure.
But definitely would make it interesting. And I did also read somewhere, I think Geek Tyrant had this, that David Harbour is said that he said that her sacrifice in Endgame will be explained in this movie.
That's interesting.
So the whole
there's a guy who should be used to secrecy from all the Stranger Things he's had to hide.
Exactly. Right. So he no kidding. So he right. No, so it sounds like, based on that, I would imagine this movie is going to jump around to a lot of different things. You're going to get the complete, this movie will fill in all the gaps of anything you thought you didn't know about MCU Black Widow. That's what it sounds like.
So when David Harbour was on stage, he wore a Captain America t-shirt under his suit and talked a little bit about how Cap is his favorite or whatever, and they said, oh really, like Captain America? And he's like, yes, I have some very complicated feelings about him, and so does my character, or something. I'm not saying that quote, but something like that. It was like, oh, that's interesting. Really? I wonder if they're playing up like that, you know, this may, we might see the Russian version of Captain America.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe that's who he's playing.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to, I mean, look, here's the deal. Okay. Obviously everyone's excited and they're making us wait long enough to where the hype machine, you know, like the trailer for this, you probably ideas on when does this trailer drop?
Right. That's what I wonder. I mean, as I'm thinking, like suddenly that the thing popped into my head, Red Guardian. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, that's right.
The Russian version of Captain America is Red Guardian.
Right.
I was thinking, like, was it Red Star? No, that was a different comic book. Red Guardian. So maybe he's playing Red Guardian. That could be interesting.
Ah.
But yeah, I was thinking they'll probably wait for the trailer until Star Wars: Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah,
because now it's too soon.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if they wanted to put it at D23, that would also make a little bit of sense. But that's almost a year away. That's 10 months away. That seems, even for a teaser trailer, the way they've been doing it lately, that seems like a long way to go. But who knows? I mean, maybe they'll the teaser now, make us wait 5 months, and then put out the official trailer, and we'll see. But I think they'll probably wait and put it out for Star Wars.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense, though. Leave it all. Leave everything clean for Star Wars and Frozen 2. It's not like they don't have enough stuff to promote between now and January.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
The promotion machine never stops.
Yes.
So that'll be our first of Phase 4 will be Black Widow. I'm excited about it. I'm like, I want to see what they can do with it. Plus, I'm a big fan of that level of Marvel, like that Winter Soldier kind of just like a tough person. I like Iron Man. I like all that kind of stuff too. But I really like that sort of just above street level, you know, just like the enhanced thing of fighting. Cause I think you can really get to see the stunt performers really get to show their stuff in that.
Well, it's interesting. Well, okay. So, you know, when you look at Phase 4, and again, if you haven't seen this, you know, it's obviously you probably already have, but what's amazing about it is it's only got, okay, of the, what, 10 things announced for Phase 4, three of them are in 2020. So you have Black Widow.
And two of them are slightly out of continuity. So,
right.
Interesting.
So, you know, because I think that's interesting. And this kind of goes right into our next thing, is the next thing in chronological or the fall 2020 announcement of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus.
That's right.
I wonder, does that have any connection? I mean, that's just an interesting decision to pack everything into 2021. I that was one of the things I found very curious about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's interesting that 2020 is kind of, I don't know, I guess it's use a rough baseball metaphor, is a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
Because we've got the three that come out in 2020 are Black Widow, the Disney Plus series of Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then the Eternals. And that's it. It's sort of like, oh, that's a, for Marvel, that's kind of a light year.
Right. Especially when you're going to have 7 things the following year.
Yeah, because I mean, there's obviously Black Widow is, I guess, is kind of a sequel because she's been in what, 8 movies already. Falcon Winter Soldier is obviously is a television series, so that has a different set of criteria. And then Eternals is brand new content for everybody.
Oh, maybe we should give them a break and say, you know, writing good stuff takes some. They needed a nap. They needed to take a nap. They needed some sleep. They needed some
after
rest.
after creating the most successful movie of all time.
Yeah. Okay.
They deserve a year of just like taking like I say taking lightly where there's 3 AAA blockbuster things, but you know, that's a light year for them.
So interesting. And this kind of gets into, okay, so you know, we get into Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Obviously very interesting how integrated Disney Plus is, at least to the next, at least into Phase 4 of the MCU.
Yes, because we're actually seeing it, like he's saying, as opposed to he's never said before for all like the Netflix or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or the Inhumans even, like that these series are officially part of the phase.
Right.
Like these television series are part of the overall tapestry of it, not just like little side projects off the side that somebody else is dealing with, but I have to acknowledge them. Like Kevin Feige's up there saying these shows are integral to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, we'll talk about the middle one in a second. So I didn't have anything much about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, except for the writers they had pulled. You know, I guess there's some writers from a couple other different John Wick maybe or something else I saw. But yep. the thing that I found most interesting was the logo.
Oh, okay.
The show is called The Falcon and the Winter Soldier with Cap Shield integrated between the names.
Yeah.
Is this show then about the transition from the Falcon into Captain America?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think that's what the story is about Sam having to pick up the shield and carry that mantle and what that means. And then my biggest thing I was excited about is the fact that they have announced the villain, and it's Zemo.
Oh yeah.
And in the panel, they actually had Zemo interrupted the broadcast to, you know, basically say that he's back and he's coming for them. And he was wearing the mask, which made me very, very happy.
Everybody, I think, was happy, especially after not seeing it in Civil War.
Yeah, I hope that it looked black in their thing. I hope that it ends up being, if not purple, then at least mauve. Yeah, like sort of a darker color. I mean, like there was a piece of concept. I talked about this before during the episode, but there's a piece of concept art that came out from one of the things that showed him in sort of urban camouflage stuff with a purple mask that looked amazing. So I hope that they sort of follow from that and then get him a little more CG as opposed to just another white guy with a gun. Right. You know, you need to make him a real supervillain. I think you need to have a little bit of the supervillain trappings. And for him, the mask is the big thing. Don't put him in the fluffy boots and the the yellow the accessories and all that. But, you know, I think that you could have like an urban warfare mask that's slightly purple. And that would make all of us very happy. But yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier, the fact that we actually know that it won't be this year is interesting. I mean, that it's a fall 2020. So I would say that probably means before November. So their fall probably being September, October.
Right.
And then we still don't know from Disney Plus how the episodes will be released too. Will they be, is it be a weekly thing like they do with, you know, Handmaid's Tale, or will it be the Netflix method of dumping the entire season at once and then letting people dig through it?
If they're smart, they will not dump it at once.
I agree. That's the way. I mean, that's the way that they always get me for at least to HBO.
Yeah,
because I subscribe to HBO to watch, you know, Westworld or Game of Thrones or whatever it is, and it always rolls over to the next month, and so I got to pay another $8 to $10.
They're smarter than that. They that's how they're gonna do it.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm very excited about that. And then the two of them look like they were having a good time too. So I'm curious to see how integrated it is. Like, will we see, not that I need to see Hawkeye walking by in the background or whatever, but to see this being the first MCU properly integrated show, how integrated is it going to be? Or is it really just the two of them and Zemo off in their own thing and everyone else around them are brand new characters?
Oh yeah.
You know, how much pull do they have? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
Well, and also just kind of where does S.H.I.E.L.D., where does the whole world stand at the after the events of Endgame?
Yeah. True. Yeah, we'll see that. Because Black Widow is a prequel. So, this will be the one that we, after seeing Spider-Man and the blip and how they are there, like, what is the espionage world? Because that's what we're going to be dealing with. What is the post, you know, with S.H.I.E.L.D. being in a weird state?
Right.
What is the world like? And how do people react to it? And now that we know that and the MCU proper believes Captain America is dead, how will they react to a new person picking up the shield?
That's probably what I think the character arc is for the show.
Yeah.
You would think.
And if Zemo is involved, then and to say he made a lot of problems for Bucky when Bucky was Captain America in the comics. So I imagine we'll probably see some similar things playing out this way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, all right. So that'll be good. So our next in phase four is The Eternals. November 6th of 2020. This is a big swing. This is a Guardians of the Galaxy size swing where they're really going. What he said in the panel was full Kirby, because the Eternals are not well known characters. I never read about the guy. When I read Marvel almost exclusively through the 80s into the 90s, the Eternals were not there at all. They were something that Jack Kirby had created, and then they were sort of on the shelf. Gilgamesh would pop up every once in a while, but the rest of them were off there. Neil Gaiman did a revival of them at one point with, I think it was John Romita Jr. I've read it. I have it now. I'm working my way through it. And I'm sure that's probably where they're going to draw the primary inspiration from too. But this is these are all characters that most of the, I mean, they've never been in any other media, you know, like even the Guardians of the Galaxy, they popped up a little bit on animated series and that sort of thing, in different incarnations. But the Eternals is fresh. It's a brand. It's never been adapted in any way, shape, or form. And I think they really went powerhouse when it comes to casting, because boy, that was a really amazing group of actors they have put together.
Absolutely. No, that's what it sounds like. And it also sounds, the only thing I picked up on this was Kevin Feige had done an interview after the panel and talked about how this will connect to the Celestials as well.
Oh, interesting.
So he did say that it, I think what was the quote here? This was off of Geek Tyrant 2. It'll be a story that introduces you to this incredibly eclectic group of immortals. Mm-hmm. It takes place in the MCU, so you'll hear mentions and stuff about it, about their story. But the Celestials also go back a long way with this, and that there will be some connection to that. So that'll be the glue that brings this, that connects this somehow. And the Celestials we've talked about, I mean, that's the the head of Nowhere. Is that Ego was involved with the Celestials? I mean,
When the Collector was showing off his, he was doing his info dump about what the Infinity Rings, the Infinity Gems were, he showed that you could see a Celestial standing over a planet.
Right. So that makes sense.
I'm curious to see where they're going with it in terms of the Deviants, which are the evil versions of the Eternals, because we've seen the Eternals, and like any pantheon, they sometimes they're their own worst enemies, but they are fighting against the Deviants, and those were not announced at all in terms of characters. Are they going to be a similar group of powerful actors, or are they going the Dark Elf route where they're just a bunch of mindless creatures that they have to fight? I don't know. I'm curious. That's the one. I don't know what that story is. Like, I get the characters a little bit now, but I don't know what story they're telling in terms of how it ties into the MCU, and are they making their appearance? Like, will it end with them standing on a platform as people like applaud and cameras flash? I don't know.
Oh, right. Well, and also, I mean, like this seems to be, of the entire Phase 4, this is the one that is the most ambiguous, that I find. So anyway, yeah, this one's going to be, it's
going to be got Angelina Jolie. So, right. Wow.
No, you've got a great cast. You have an amazing cast. We talked with Salma Hayek. I mean, this is good. I bet you there is something that weaves into this that by the end of it, you're going to go, oh, like we always do. I mean, but
yeah. Yeah, this is tying into the cosmic side of it too, which I think will pay off down the line, because we might see more. Because they even talked about wanting to use the Living Tribunal at one point in a version of Endgame, and it didn't end up coming around. So they're thinking along those lines of the larger cosmic entities that populate the comic book universe. I was going to say the 616 universe. I don't think I can say that anymore. The comic book universe, but yeah, this is going to be a big swing. So it's interesting to see, and I have faith in them, because they've shown that they can take on these kind of challenges. And I also like the fact that they are challenging themselves. Like, this is very easily they could have slotted in a Black Panther 2, a Iron Man 4, you know, even if they want Hand of Mandalorian. Yeah, I mean, it got Marvel 2. I mean, anything they could have put right in there that would have been a very much of a safe bet. And this is by no means a safe bet. So when you get to a Phase 4 of a cinematic universe, apparently you can take bigger risks. And I applaud them for trying.
Yeah. No, I don't know that. Off. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Curious. So now we get into, I think, is one of the neatest stories.
I'm so excited about this.
So Shang-Chi is, that's the February 2021 release.
Yep.
Just amazing for a lot of reasons. This is totally out of left field. The guy who they cast as Shang-Chi, I forget how you say his first name, but Simu, S-I-M-U.
I think it's Simu.
Simu.
So I apologize. I'm terrible with names. So when it comes to names, don't ever follow my thing. But I think in the panel, I think that's what they said.
So the funniest part is my wife and I are actual big fans of him.
Oh, what's he from?
We have been watching a Netflix from Canadian Netflix, this funny show called Kim's Convenience.
Oh, I have that in my queue. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
No, we've been big fans of this for a while. He plays the brother of the main there's the older couple who runs a shop. The daughter and the brother are basically their children who are the main characters of the show. All the plots revolve around them with the parents. He's fantastic. And yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be great. If you've ever watched the show, his characters, it's a great acting on his part. And it's just, I think it's a really cool opportunity for him. I mean, that's a great story in itself. Just, you know, Canadian actor playing on a lot of these Canadian roles. He's about to be huge, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So isn't
that Chadwick Boseman thing where like you're about to become a gigantic star.
You're about to become a great star. And I think that is just fantastic. And then the other thing that I find so interesting about this is, okay, so I even know a little bit about the character here in that Shang-Chi's primary villain is a character called Fu Manchu, who in the comics was the worst stereotype of all the Asian stereotypes you could possibly imagine, and all of them being very bad.
He is the very definition of problematic.
Yes. Like you could not know. There's no good. And I'm thrilled if everything what we've heard so far is true. They said, yeah, we're not touching this.
No.
That villain's not happening.
That's never going to happen. Like, even the Mandarin had taken him this long to try and.
No, and the idea that they're actually going to reconnect to the real Mandarin that we saw in the one shot of, you know, and the Ten Rings. Mm-hmm. The recipe for an amazing story.
Yeah, they actually can go all the way back to the first Iron Man and say, look, the stuff started there, and they can connect it all the way through, up through that one shot, which is now, was at one point, was just sort of a gag, and now has become a vital part of the continuity. Yeah, the Shang-Chi, like, I was excited about already, just because I'm like, oh, that could be really cool, like, to see a Marvel version of a Kung Fu movie. But when they announced it was Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, it was like, oh, you guys were playing the long game.
Yes. No, absolutely. Right. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that when we talk about those stories, that there is that, you know, room somewhere in Disney Marvel Studios headquarters that has five armed guards at the door. And in that huge room, they have literally just the next 10 years all mapped out on a wall that goes around the room.
Yeah.
Like, yes. And that's how you get stuff like this. And that's amazing. Bravo. Yeah. Like, again, we're gushing fanboy like over a movie that we've heard five sentences about.
Of course. Yeah. But I gotta say, of this collection, though, that is the one that really I'm the most excited about.
Yes. I would say that too. Yes.
The possibilities that what they can do with that are. Yeah. I cannot be more excited about that. And we're even that far away. It's, you know, February 2021. And like by the time we get to January, I'll just be frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, no, that
February is a great place to put it too, because it could really come out strong and dominate right there. You don't have to worry about it going up against any summer blockbuster nonsense.
Well, it's been the Black Panther slot. It's been the Captain Marvel slot. Like that's right. A great place
even out of the thing. Hellboy, Hannibal, like all these things have sort of come out at that time and really blown up. Because there's always this thought that, movies only do well in, you know, December and June. And it's like, oh, no.
No, that's...
you put a great movie down, you can really, you can have some box office numbers no matter where you put it in the year.
No, people should, that's one to watch out for. I mean, I think it's going to be great.
The director was on the panel, and he actually was really interesting too, because he just had a very small amount to say. Like, first of all, he was extremely nervous because he'd never been in front of a bunch of people before, because I'm like, oh yeah, directors usually don't.
Is not the place to get your land legs.
That's right. And he's from Hawaii and on Maui, actually, specifically. And so he talked a little bit about how when he grew up around kids who were Japanese, Chinese, Hawaiian, Maori, like, I mean, this incredible wide variety of stuff. And so he said, that's the movie I want to make. So like, I want to look around at my cast and see what I saw growing up. And when I told Marvel that, they were like, yeah, that's what we want too. So I was like, all right. Like, I think they found a good guy. My plan for 2019 for this 10 months ago is to start watching the movies that these directors have made already, just to kind of get an idea of what it is that Marvel saw in them.
Well, you know, what's interesting is
give them one of these things.
Did you look at his? So I'm just looking at this. So he did The Shack, which was this semi, it was based on a book quite some time ago, 2017, that movie came out. But a good cast. But the movie, The Glass Castle, was another one of his 2017 movies. Brie Larson was in that.
Oh, interesting.
So he has experience with people who are in the family. that's an interesting choice. The whole movie. That's the one. Well, this is it's a tie. I will admit there are three movies. There are three entities of Phase 4 that I'm super excited about. This is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is after what we talk about next.
Okay. Yeah. So now things are going to get weird. So I could say so let's say Shang-Chi is the X factor. I don't know what that's going to be. I'm excited by it, but I kind of have a rough estimate of the shape of what it is. For the next three things, I'd say
the rest of the slate.
Of 2021 is so bizarre. Yes. Where they're going, is great in terms of like excitement, but I also look at it and go, wow, really? This is what your plan is? Okay. Because the next thing in spring 2021, we assume is coming out first, is WandaVision. Again, what the heck is that title? But it turns out they're kind of leaning into that because the reason it's titled that, there is a reason for it, I should say. Like, they have said, no, there's a specific reason why it's called that and what it is. And they keep talking about there's a 1950s sitcom vibe to it. It's about the two of them together, even though one of the characters is dead. I honestly do not know what that show is, but every time they talked about it, they said, yeah, it's going to be weird.
Wait, explain the show to people like, oh, so it's about this girl and she's got like these special powers because she's kind of like a witch and she fell in love with a cybernetic humanoid who was powered by similar powers that where she got her powers from. He's dead. And this show takes place after all that's over and takes place in the 1950s, like with like I Love Lucy and the Honeymooners.
Right.
What?
And even the logo, when they fully revealed it, had like that flair to it. And the music they played was a very like, you know, Donna Reed, Leave It to Beaver sort of.
That logo, do you know what that logo is? That logo belongs on the top of your new refrigerator.
That's true. It does look like the Frigidaire.
That literally looks like a logo right off a refrigerator in your kitchen from the 1950s.
I don't know. And we'll talk about in a movie that's coming out, but that comes out in spring 2021. And then later in the summer, we're going to see Wanda showing up in a future movie. And apparently her appearance in that movie will directly tie into what WandaVision is and why it exists and how it happened.
Well, you kind of have a theory on this, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so it ties into, and we don't really know anything more about the show other than Vision's in it, and it's somehow a 1950s sitcom.
Yes.
So leads us into May 7th, 2021, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
What
a great title, first of all.
One, great title. Well, and there's been theories about where the title comes from.
Yes.
But has been described as Marvel, the MCU's venture into gothic horror.
Yes. Scott Derrickson is coming back as the director, which I'm super excited about because I thought he did a great job with the first one. And he says he wants to make the first Marvel horror movie.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm down for it. And it's like, so someone in the audience yelled out, rated R! And Kevin Feige's like, no, it's going to be PG-13 and you're going to love it.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a lot.
There's a lot you can do with PG-13 too. But I love the fact that they're going to embrace the weird side of Doctor Strange, which is fantastic. The if you read the, you could go back to the Ditko stuff. Like there's some way trippy, nice like 70s vibes to it. But actually, in the couple of years ago, Jason Aaron wrote Doctor Strange for about a year and really leaned into how weird his life is. So much so, one of the plot elements is he had spent so much time in other realms that he can't eat regular human food anymore. He has to eat extra dimensional food, and some of it is still alive. it's just like this weird little side thing of like, oh yeah, like all the weird mystical energies that his body has channeled has physically changed him so much that he can't do normal human stuff anymore. And maybe, it's like, oh, what a cool idea.
Maybe he has to store that food in a WandaVision refrigerator.
Hey! I love that they're gonna fully embrace that side of that Doctor Strange is, you know, as opposed to like I am the Doctor of Magic, they're gonna go fully into, yeah, I gotta deal with some stuff that you guys cannot possibly comprehend.
Well, okay, so some of the silly, like, well, not, and not, this is one silly and one like somewhat interesting. There was a story someone had, this was CBR.com, which is a lot of comic news and stuff. The idea that this might be connected to an H.P. Lovecraft yes. novella.
The title, because I mean, H.P. Lovecraft had The Mountains of Madness, which was it's one of those things that's been kicking around Hollywood for a long time. People have been wanting to make that as a movie. So, I mean, the title directly reflects that. You can sort of like, I think it's sort of an homage. So we might see some some Lovecraftian horrors coming. I mean, if you... He sort of dealt with that a little bit, but I mean, we might really get into some of that sort of Lovecraftian vibe.
So doesn't it make you wonder? It makes me wonder, is the Vision that Wanda is spending time with from a multiverse?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. When they said that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. They'll just pull.
So she got another Vision from one of the strands.
Yep.
But then because of that, does she start to go insane?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that has long been a that was and, a
or might I say, does she start? Does she start to go mad? So you know, I mean, like, look, obviously, if they're implying that there's already a connection, something is going on, and this might be Wanda bending the rules of what should be by dabbling in the multiverse, and Doctor Strange has to come in to kind of repair that damage and save her, and as a result, horrors ensue.
Yeah, because her powers are originally reality manipulation. Like, they haven't really done much with that in terms of the MCU. They usually have just used her basically as magical telekinesis. I mean, that's essentially – she just moves things with, you know, by gesturing at them and shoots some energy. But in the comic books, she actually could pretty much do whatever she wanted. Like, she could rearrange reality however she wanted. And so she would kind of do it with on a probability of like making things happen that shouldn't happen and that. But then as she got more powerful and kind of had some severe personal tragedies happen, she kind of went insane and then started wiping people from reality. And at one point eliminated all mutants from the basically wiped out the X-Men in one spell.
Oh
yeah. The no more mutants was the big thing, and that it became it created a whole alternate reality and stuff too. It was a mess. So interesting to see if they're going to go down that direction where they're. I hope they don't, because that was not one of my favorite things, because I liked Wanda as a character, and like to turn her into like sort of this insane, you know, taking the crazy woman ideal and putting it on a super powered scale was a little bit. I hope it's the two of them, Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch, teaming up against a Lovecraftian horror of some kind. But that of that, that's the Doctor Strange in the blank of madness. It's that multiverse part. I'm curious to see how that's going to play right into it. What are we going to see?
Speaking of multiverses.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of multiverses. Our next entry into it, it's supposed to be coming out around the same time on Disney Plus, Loki. And as we sort of suspected, even though I find it fascinating, they announced this a couple of years before we even knew this particular character existed. They've been shooting a show for a character we didn't even know was around. This series is about the Loki that we see in Endgame escaping with the cube. It's that Loki. That's who this series is about. Not our original Loki, but that guy.
All I'm going to say is this. That's brilliant. When we saw Endgame, you knew that there was more to that story, which we had talked about and everyone had talked about. I just love the entire concept again as the from the graphic side of this. I love the logo because what the logo implies is it's going to go back to the classic show of the week where you're like, where's Loki this week? Like, right? Like, I love it.
The thing that's great about that is as opposed to trying to fit into a particular time period, like let's say Black Widow. Black Widow is limited a little bit in terms of what it can and can't do. Like, it's filling in a gap in the narrative, which is great for what it is. But Loki, we have the Loki history up until the Avengers. So this is Loki right after he's been Hulk smashed. And then from here on out, anything can happen.
Right.
So the universe that he's playing in is completely different than anything we've seen before. So it doesn't have to tie into anything. And this is Loki, supervillain, completely untethered. So there's a lot of different places it can go, and they can do whatever, pretty much whatever they want, because they don't have to worry about tying it into any continuity because they could just make up whatever continuity they want.
Do you think maybe, though, after his brain's been Hulk smashed, maybe he just wants to have some good old-fashioned mischief and he...
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, this is him just having worked for Thanos.
The whole idea of
is it him gathering the Infinity? Oh God, is it him getting the rings together, the Infinity Stones?
All of it. You know, this week on Loki, Loki murders 8 billion people. Next week on Loki, he puts a whoopee cushion under Captain America's seat.
That lovable scamp.
I mean, right? Like, that's
Loki.
Exactly. No, I mean, that's awesome. Awesome.
I don't know what it's going to be. It's great that Tom is back. It's great they're doing this, and it's great they're sort of giving them a blank canvas that they can do whatever they want on. I'm curious to see if he'll find a way into our proper MCU. I mean, there actually was a good run where a kid Loki showed up, a youth Loki, and it went along, and nobody trusted him, of course, because they thought he was just Loki being Loki. But as it went along, you find out it's sort of like another aspect of him trying to do something different, trying to break out of the cycle. And then eventually he ends up coming into conflict with the supervillain Loki proper, and then sort of fighting for who is dominant. Because there's some really interesting, heady kind of stuff. Like, can you change your nature? Are you stuck in the same cycles all the time, or can you try something new? So I'm curious if they're that's the route they're going on, or if they're just going to have it be just, you know, a Loki Breaking Bad.
Oh my God.
You know, I mean, just being full on supervillain the whole time through. I mean, that's Disney Plus. They can do what they want. You know, he could be causing all kinds of trouble and then just getting away with it at the end. Wahaha. Grabs the space stone and warps away.
Oh my. Okay. You just said that and now I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. As long as he's not a high school chemistry teacher or running a Chick-fil-A somewhere.
He's Loki. He could be doing all of that. And we would never know.
That's bad. Well, the possibilities are endless. So
Which leads us into our next Disney Plus series. What if now?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. At the same time, it's weird that they're putting this as part of Phase 4 because it is totally not. Like, this is an animated series. That we'll explore. So What If has been a comic, long-running comic for many, 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 many years. And it allows writers and artists to take a storyline that we all know and go down a different path. And they can be terrifying, they can be funny, they can be strange, they could be just completely bizarre. But we get to see that. So they're doing that same idea of What If in the MCU. So we get to see stuff. Like, the first story I think they talked about is a Agent Carter story. I think they're doing What If Agent Carter Became Captain America.
Whoa. Okay.
And it's done with almost all of the original actors doing the voices for their characters. They put up a graphic on screen of the headshots, and it was like 30 MCU actors have signed on to reprise their roles in these stories. So it's not in continuity, but it is continuous. I don't know how to say it. It is the actual people, as opposed to just, you know, finding other voice actors to do an impression of Haley Atwell or Chris Evans or any of those. They actually got the original people back. And I won't say Chris Evans. I don't remember if he was one of them on there, because it was a large list. But I know Haley Atwell was.
You know, the thing I was amazed by this is when I first saw this, and when I first saw it, I didn't realize it was animated. I thought they were actually saying, "No, we're gonna do a what if show," and I went, "What?"
Oh, like, that would be fascinating. Just like, right? Do a Marvel Black Mirror.
Yes, oh, like, I'm like, you. That's insane. I mean, literally at that point, you say, "How much money do you have?" And of course, as we talked, they have all the money. Yes,
all the money.
But then I thought to myself, when I heard it was animated, and I immediately had a flashback of Star Wars Infinities, which that was a comic book series that took, like, you know, what if Darth Vader turned good and what would happen, blah blah blah, right? So like, I could see that, or I could also see right now where Disney is going, because again, with Star Wars, they have the Galaxy of Adventures, which is a fully animated, like, vignettes with mm-hmm. which sounds like it is going to turn into a series at some point on YouTube and the StarWars.com. And they even just announced action figures for it. Like, I'm wondering if this is them saying, we're going to dabble in this and see what happens.
Yeah. And this is the first proper MCU animated series too. I mean, all the other ones that we've seen have been in their own universes, essentially.
But you can just see where this is going to, I don't mean to sound cynical, but like, oh yeah, I want a Captain America Agent Carter action figure.
Of course, yeah, right? Like, you're right. That would be the smart thing for them to do, is to have that component tied in as well. I like this because they get to play out some other stuff, so we can see different ideas of, like, what if this, what if that. Right. I mean, like, in the comic books, they've done stuff like, what if Wolverine became Lord of the Vampires? Like, they show him, like, you know, basically killing Dracula, but then becoming a vampire and then turning the X-Men, and they turn the heroes, and it comes down to it becomes the Omega Man. It becomes last man on Earth is the Punisher. So he's the only human being left on Earth, and like that kind of stuff, to see that. Like, but then it can also be, but then also it can be incredibly silly, because they did a very famous one that was, what if Aunt May became a Herald of Galactus?
Oh, geez.
And so she was, like, basically doing the role of the Silver Surfer, and she became the Golden Oldie.
Oh, no. If you did this with Marissa Tomei, that would be a totally different story, but okay. I mean, I'm sorry. I was like, well, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Never mind.
What if Marissa Tomei got the Infinity Gauntlet? I mean, see?
Oh, this show's going to be totally fun. Yeah, I mean,
that's what I love about it. Like, they could be as serious or strange or funny as they want to be. It's a great opportunity to play around a little bit with that stuff. I think it's great. It's just, I find it strange that they sort of consider it part of the phase when it's literally not. It's an animated thing off to the side. However, the cool part about it is that it's going to have the Watcher. It's going to have Uatu, and his voice is going to be Jeffrey Wright, which I think is a great, great casting choice.
So you're telling me that you have no expectation that the final episode of this, the Watcher will turn to the viewer and say, "And let's see what's happening in universe 2748 today." No? Like, what if all of these are actual multiverses and this is the closing the chapter on the Doctor Strange movie? Anyway, no. I'm going to keep looking for multiverse.
multiverse. All right, so then, so keeping in the Disney Plus thing, then the next thing comes out in fall of 2021 is Hawkeye. And Jeremy Renner was actually there, so he is reprising his role as Hawkeye. I kind of got the impression that Hawkeye had retired at the end of the game, and I think maybe that's where we'll pick up the series.
So, love Jeremy Renner.
Yep.
Love the character. But when I saw this on my phone when I was following along, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, my reaction was, really?
Yeah, of all the characters, it's sort of like, Hawkeye gets his own series.
And also, the weirdest logo of all of these properties.
Well, not more than WandaVision, but that Hawkeye logo is actually from the comic. Because there was a
period,
and I think that's where they're going with it. Not entirely this way, because they couldn't. But when Matt Fraction and David Aja did their Hawkeye, not a reboot, but like their run on it, essentially, they ran it a couple of years, and it was incredibly well received. That was what people loved the character. That was basically the logo that they used, and their version of Hawkeye was. Probably my favorite of all of the Hawkeye, you know, versions there have been, which is he was like the lovable loser who could not get the stuff together. And it was no real super heroics. It was about him becoming the landlord of a building. And so he's like basically he was still off do his Avengers stuff. But this is when he comes home. He's just a guy in a t-shirt and sweatpants hanging out. And then like, Russian crime syndicate moves into the neighborhood, and then he has to fight them off. And so he ends up becoming like a small, like a local hero, which then they bring more guys to come after him. And they, like he adopts a dog. He's unlucky in love. It's kind of like Hawkeye as Jim Rockford from the Rockford Files.
Okay. Wait, let me see. How was my reaction to that going to be? Really?
I'd say they made it work. I'm telling you, it is. You could pick up the Matt Fraction Hawkeye run. They changed artists a couple times, but David Aja was the one who sort of created the look for it. It's so like sly and just funny and low, because it's really just a guy with a bow and arrow, you know, running around doing something. And a lot of times, like, it's just him like running around at, like, the top of a building in his sweatpants, like with a bagel clutched in his mouth, trying to shoot arrows. I mean, he's such a schlub in it. You know, he just like can't get his life together.
Now want to see this show with Linda Cardellini and the kids.
However, I don't but that's the thing, is the characters in the MCU is so different that I don't know that they could do that. So from that, he met so Hawkeye was dead for a while back. Okay, actually, this ties into what we talked about. Wanda killed Clint. She wiped him from existence. Poof. Like, no more Hawkeye. That's gone. Like, when she was full on crazy. So he was gone for a while. So another person took up the mantle. So there is a group called the Young Avengers, which I full on expected them to announce that they're doing a Young Avengers movie. And maybe that's a Phase 5 thing. But I'll say she starts out sort of as a spoiled rich girl who then, like, gets decides wants to do something and help the world a little bit, but she is a very good archer just because she took archery as one of her classes and stuff too. And she becomes Hawkeye, and that's Kate Bishop. And they announced at the panel that Kate Bishop is in the series. So I think this Hawkeye series is actually going to be more about that Hawkeye and this Hawkeye, Clint, handing off the mantle to Kate.
Because
she has a whole run to, like, her learning to be a hero and learning to be a detective, and then moves out to Los Angeles and opens her own practice stuff, and he sort of is a mentor to her. So I think that's the story they're telling, is about him.
Well, how funny. Okay, that's kind of cool. Well, interesting then if that there's also that similar handing off in the Black Widow movie, which has been rumored.
Yes. And they have not cast Kate Bishop yet, but they showed her silhouette in the panel. Like, the logo came up, and there was her, and it was clearly her because she has like a very distinctive look with glasses and her hair and stuff.
Oh, awesome. They
have not cast her, or they have not announced the casting of her yet, but that'll be the big news is who is going to be the sort of co-lead with him.
That's totally cool. Yeah. I had no interest in this. I was like, whatever. I still want my WandaVision refrigerator. Magic, yes. Now I'm interested in this too. Yeah. Dang you. Okay.
MCU, fine. You got us again. All right. Which leads us to our final thing, what will close out Phase 4. And that was a movie that unfortunately got leaked a couple of days before the panel because when you sign these multi-million-dollar deals, you can't keep it quiet from Variety. And that's Thor: Love and Thunder. So Thor 4, essentially. So, you know, everything, as soon as he went off in Endgame, people were like, oh, he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He's going to be in Guardians 3. And I was like, nah, no, he's not. Like, I know Guardians 3 was written years ago and signed off on it. And I'm like, I know James Gunn wasn't like, oh, good, I get to have Thor in my fun, weird, quirky family movie with the 70s music. No. And here it is. Like, we'll probably see a transition, you know, somehow at the start.
They're going to show up. There's going to be a cameo. There's going to be something.
I think they'll talk about it. I don't think there'll be a cameo. But we'll see. I mean, obviously, it's November of 2021, so we got a long time before that happens.
No, because I need – because here's how the show – this is how that movie begins. You need to see the whole montage of Fat Thor getting slim, getting super buff, while Star-Lord is like, oh, God, I'm a schlub. I didn't commit. And then there's like a whole like banter of like, okay, I'm leaving. Dude, here's my Bowflex. Try to get yourself together. And Star-Lord's like, God, I suck.
Now, this is my personal theory is when he was originally – Kevin Feige was originally blocking Phase 4, I think this is the slot that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was in.
Yeah, probably.
And that now because of all the James Gunn stuff and then now the Suicide Squad has taken that position. It pushed Guardians of the Galaxy into Phase 5. I think that is the slot it used to be in.
So isn't this just though the whole concept of this story of Natalie Portman and her connection to the MCU?
Yes.
And all of it.
That was one of the best ones of like, you're kidding me. Like of all the stuff they announced, that was like the biggest shocker for me as someone who thinks they know what's going on in the MCU was they got her back. When did
Let me just say something. Here's the deal. In the history of life, never burn your big bridges.
Yeah. And honest to God, I don't know what happens. All I can supposedly the deal was signed like 6 months ago, yeah, and they've just been sitting on it ever since. So I was trying to figure out, okay, what was going on 6 months ago? And it's like, all right, she didn't shoot anything for Endgame. She basically just like said, no, use whatever you want, and even I think did some ADR. You know, like recorded some like basic dialogue stuff, but didn't actually like come to set and get in the outfit and, you know, do any new scenes. Which, by the way, I know this is becoming a recurring thing. This is the drinking game. How It Should Have Ended put out another thing of how Captain America returned the stones. They get to the part where he has to return the ether and goes, hey, I'm Captain America. I have to inject you with this thing now. And it becomes this like farce of him chasing her around with this injector to try and put it back into her body.
No.
But anyways, so all I can think of is that they were having the conversation with her about this. We want to go for Endgame and have you thing in there. Are you interested in that? No. We'd like you to put you in a room with Taika Waititi. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
seriously,
that's what it took. And him going, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. No, and it is going to be
great.
It
is. I got to say, I'm a huge Jason Aaron fan, as you've heard from the multiple times I mentioned him in this podcast. I have met the man. He's a gentleman. He's fantastic. He wrote an amazing story of female Thor. Like, Thor became unworthy through reasons, because comics. And so he couldn't lift Mjolnir anymore. And then there was a thing, a woman picks up Mjolnir and suddenly becomes Thor. And it becomes, Thor, the title Thor becomes a sort of a title as opposed to a person. Like Thor starts going by Odin's son. And so she is not female Thor. She's not she Thor. She's Thor. Through the entire comic, no one like calls her like female Thor or any of that kind of stuff. She is Thor with all the powers and that comes along with it and full access to Mjolnir and everything else. And that story plays out over a couple of years. And for the first, I'd say 6 months, she keeps showing up and you don't know who it is. Now everybody's like, well, of course it's Jane Foster. Well, at the time of the comics, Jane Foster was in chemo. So what, because that was Thor's first thought too, is like, oh, it must be Jane Foster. And he goes to see her and she's, it's bald and sick and dying. Like, she's going through chemotherapy. Like, she and it's not going well. And so, like, it looks like she's going to die. So she becomes like his. They had their, at this point, they're friends. They're not in a relationship or anything like that. They just, they had both moved on, but was still very close to him. And so, like, that was, she becomes sort of a sounding board. But then after 6 months, it turns out, oh, yeah, it fully is Jane Foster. She is dying and being Thor. And being Thor is literally killing her. Because when she transforms, it undoes all of the stuff that the chemotherapy had done. So, like, she goes to chemotherapy, transforms to Thor. When comes back, she returns her body to the state it was when she left. So it never does any progress. So it's like she's doing this thing, being this hero, having to do all the stuff that Thor is not doing, and yet it's killing her at the same time because Marvel is great with that feet of clay thing. And it's a great storyline. It has a fantastic ending. And now there's even more stuff going on with it. So obviously they can't do that. That's not what they're going to do. So I don't know what story they're going to do, but taking the wildness of Thor Ragnarok that we saw, the madness of Taika Waititi, the brilliance of Jason Aaron, and having Natalie Portman back, announcing full on, she is going to be Thor, handing her the hammer on stage, I am so excited to see what weird mashup, remix, redo version of that story they're going to do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, too, the other little anecdotal stuff for that is they did confirm that Valkyrie will be the first official LGBTQ character.
I hope that is true. I don't know that they actually have confirmed that, because she made some jokes on stage, but I have not heard that from anybody within Marvel.
Oh, interesting. Because
she talked about being she's the king now. She's like, well, my first job is to find a queen, right?
Oh, it was like, okay.
That's fantastic. True, but it's still like they cut that scene out of Ragnarok, where they showed her, you know, like kissing a woman or whatever it was. I'm not even sure what the scene was, but something that showed that she was bisexual, I think, is what they were saying.
The only thing that I saw is there was a IO9 had talked to Kevin Feige after the panel, and they said, hey, can you confirm this? His answer was, the answer is yes.
Oh.
How that impacts the story remains to be seen.
Ah.
With the level of representation you'll see across our films.
Okay. That's fantastic. If that's true, that's great. I hope that's, I had not heard that part of it too. So I hope that's the case. Bravo. And long overdue.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. But oh my God.
If you look at this list too, I mean, like, with what we see, the cast of the Eternals is multi-diverse. Yeah.
Absolutely.
With that in for Thor Love and Thunder and Shang-Chi, I mean, like, that could be like an almost an entirely Asian cast.
Yep.
Yeah, from it all different denominations, because it could be a global thing, especially with the Ten Rings. So, like, we're going to see lots of different faces too. And they talked a little bit about wanting to address that and sort of move on and show a little bit more of what the world looks like now, which is great.
It's amazing. I think overall, I would say on Phase 4 is, wow, I mean, never saw. I mean, the Shang-Chi thing, you kind of assumed, but you didn't know where it was going to go. But when you had the stuff in, like, Thor and the Doctor Strange and the connection to WandaVision, I mean, I'm like, okay, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. 2021 is going to be quite the year for MCU fans.
Yeah. 2020, will just, like I said, is sort of a franchise rebuilding year. There's going to be some good stuff in there, but like 2021 is going to be where we're going to see a weirder, wilder new MCU. And I can't be more excited about it. So they ended the panel with this, and I'll use this little piece that will lead into our rampant, wild, bizarre speculation about what Phase 5 is. So at the end of the panel, everyone had gotten Black Widow hats, and they were giving them out to the audience, and everybody's super excited. So the entire everyone who had presented, the entire cast of all the Marvel movies that were there, all came back on stage wearing the Black Widow hats, and it was like the big thing. And so they were going to take a picture together and all this kind of stuff. Kevin Feige says, oh, there's actually one more person we haven't brought out yet. And so they go to the wings, and out comes Academy Award winner Mahershala Ali. I don't know if I got that name. I hope I got the name right. And he it comes out, and this, and Kevin Feige is sort of like almost pretty proud of the fact, he's like, yeah, no one knows about this. Like, this is something you haven't heard rumored. And they said, oh, you've got a hat there, but that doesn't have the Black Widow logo on it. Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, you're right. And he puts it on, and it has the Blade logo on it. So yeah, they have announced they have passed him as Blade, and that was like the roof blew off the place.
The implications of this, personally, I think are unbelievable again for the MCU, because you know you've added in the magic, the realm of magic, and you've added in the universe, and you've added in now dimensional stuff. Mm-hmm. And now we are adding vampires.
Yes, we're going to have a strong supernatural element coming.
Yes,
I think that's which, great. I like what, like, of course, that's what you do next. Like, oh yeah, we haven't touched that stuff at all.
Well, and you know what? And I mean, if, you know, if any of you've seen the original Blade movies with Wesley Snipes, the first one is phenomenal. The first one is great.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
At least
is.
I think.
Yeah. I think we're going to talk about that at some point over the next 10 months.
Yeah. I mean, the second one's interesting. The third one.
Yeah. It's a sliding scale.
Yes. But no, but I mean, the idea to bring this in, and, you know, you're setting up such, you know, they kind of just you've blown people's minds with mm-hmm. Phase 4. To then throw this in, and then to also admit, oh, yeah, then you've got Guardians Volume right. 3 and Phase 5. Captain Marvel 2, Black Panther 2. Wow. Uh-huh. I mean, okay. You know, and the rumor, the main thing, I think I saw this, Kevin Feige had talked about, were that the next team up movie will be in Phase 5.
Team up movie in terms of Avengers level?
Yes, the Avengers level team up movie. So, and he did say, this was a Geek Tyrant article that said, it'll be very different. And it's also, we're laying the groundwork for it all throughout Phase 4.
Oh,
so where that goes to where Blade fits into that universe. I mean, is that teased in the Doctor Strange movie? Because some brick is going to be laid in Phase mm-hmm. 4 that you'll see where this connects. Hmm.
It's smart. I mean, it's really smart, like, to do that, because that, once again, just like Doctor Strange opened up that sort of supernatural sort of thing, the magic side of things. Now this can open up that, like you say, the vampires, monsters, that sort of element of it too. And from there, who knows what else we can get? We could get Frankenstein. We could get Werewolf by Night. We could get Moon Knight. The one thing he did not talk about was the Ghost Rider. They had announced a Ghost Rider series for Hulu, but I guess that is still in that almost but not quite MCU, that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Runaways and Cloak and Dagger sit in, that just to the right of the MCU.
Oh, interesting. Because I was going to say this would connect. Yeah, you'd find some way to connect this to Ghost
Rider. Yeah, and it seems like that's where they and if they can start, if they end up building their own sort of Avengers team of that, that would be pretty cool. You know, a Night Stalkers.
Yeah. That's
yeah. Awesome. So in Phase 5, what we know is this sort of, he threw this off sort of at the end. Phase 5, which will be in 2022, 2023. I would think we Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Captain Marvel 2, Black Panther 2, which I think is interesting that they're waiting that long. But it's right. Hey, you know, for quality, let it wait. And then the last one he dropped just before they, you know, turned the lights off was Fantastic Four. So that's a big one to hit too, because it was sort of like, and then,
So, no, I mean, it was really amazing. I mean, and to see all the talk and the noise it generated, I mean, it really is. The MCU is not going anywhere, man. It's a thing for quite some time. And I think they like we said, is they're taking a lot of the great risks that are going to keep you interested way beyond the Infinity story.
Yes.
So I think that makes a lot of sense. I did pick up, there was some other news, you know, because I'm a big toy fan and with this stuff.
Yeah.
So coming out of Comic-Con, Marvel Legends, the really cool 6-inch figure line, they just announced Wave 3 for Endgame, which is awesome because it's Captain America, it's the Iron Man, Mark, 58, 78, whatever that one is. The Vision, which the Vision character from this MCU, they had only released this character, this sculpt one other time in a two pack with Scarlet Witch that was very hard to find. I think it was a Toys R Us exclusive right before Toys R Us went done.
Rest in peace,
exactly. So it's cool that they're doing that Vision. Heimdall, which is kind of cool. Okay. Valkyrie in her full white armor.
Oh, nice, from the end of Ragnarok.
And then a really done up Iron Patriot, like, I mean, painted up in the red, white, and blue and everything, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, cool.
But this is the cool part.
Iron Man 3?
Yes, I think it's from it says Endgame on the packaging, but that's not it's clearly not an Endgame. Okay, but the cool part about this is most of these lines have a build-a-figure, and the build-a-figure for this series is Fat Thor.
Uh-huh.
Like, full wow. on.
I think, that figure would sell really well, but I guess they probably have such a long lead time for action figures that they went, will people really like this or not?
I think they went, why sell one figure when we can sell six? So, but it's awesome. He comes with the bathrobe, the Crocs, like everything. And he comes with two heads, one with sunglasses, one without. But that's just a cool, who would have thought? No one would have thought they were going to do a figure like that. So that was very cool. The other thing I saw, which was neat, Sideshow, and this stuff is from MarvelToyNews.com, which is a great resource for this stuff. Sideshow, which is one of the big maquettes and statue makers, they released and showed this new Iron Man 7 statue that's by 21 inches, 20, I mean like 30 inches high. But they partnered with a new special effects company, and you have to see it to believe it. It's Iron Man escaping from like an explosion, firing a rocket off his forearm, but when you turn it on, all the exhausts and explosions light up.
Oh, wow.
And it looks spectacular. This is one of the best statue replicas anyone has ever done. It's like $700.
Of course it is.
Outrageous thing. However, if you were to buy one, this would be the one you'd want to buy. It's pretty awesome. And then the last thing is just actually news from the last couple of days. Arcade 1-Up, which we've talked about before, they make the three-quarter scale arcade cabinets. The Marvel Super Heroes arcade cabinet just went up for pre-order on GameStop.
Oh, I want it.
I know. That's the one that comes with Marvel Super Heroes, X-Men Children of the Atom, and The Punisher.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's people's Christmas lists are already filling up, which I was excited about.
So, yeah, so that's phase four and a little touch of phase five. It's quite a lot of stuff. And we'll have almost a whole year to talk about this before we get to Black Widow, which would be the first.
We still have
D23. I know. I don't know what D23 is going to look like now. Are they going to announce phase five? I don't know. Or is it just going to, dig deep on some of the other stuff? Are we going to have more? Like, maybe that's when the Black Widow trailer comes? I don't know.
I think there'll also be some theme park news about the Marvel Land or whatever it's called.
Yep. And D23 has its own panel then too. But it's interesting that they're launching the Disney Plus without any new Marvel content. Like they've already announced, they've already posted the list of here's everything that on day one will be available. And none of the, they'll have, I think, four Marvel movies available for streaming. But they're the big flagship for it is The Mandalorian, which is a Star Wars series.
Wait, all the Marvel movies are not going to be available day one on Disney Plus?
Nope. Only four of them.
What are the four?
Yeah, the only four Marvel Studios films that will be there at launch are Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Iron Man 3, and Thor the Dark World, which is clearly the best of all the Thor movies.
What? Wait, that is complete garbage. Are you serious?
They have announced this is what's going to be available. But I think part of that is because of previously existing arrangements. Like, they have contracts signed for certain movies to be available in certain places, and they have to wait for those contracts to expire before they put them out there. However, one thing that they do not have those contracts with are Star Wars. So every currently available Star Wars movie will be there on day one. It's one of those things where they're going to build up to it. They'll eventually have all the Marvel ones, but at launch, you're going to have those four movies, and that's it.
Okay, so we're right. Okay, first of all, that means I have to buy Endgame on iTunes this week, and that's ridiculous. Two, I'm going to be a little cynic here for a second, and I'm going to sit back and say, you know what they're really saying is, hey, we have this little independent movie called Rise of Skywalker coming out in December. We really need to focus all the attention on that. So please do not put 22 MCU movies on Disney Plus for at least the next 5 months.
I would say probably they have, by the time Black Widow shows up, you'll probably have most of them. And by the time, you know, what is the first of the Disney Plus shows that comes out? Is it Falcon Winter Soldier? Yes, Falcon. By the time Falcon and Winter Soldier comes out, all of them will be there. However, fill your time while you're waiting, you can watch all of Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy animated series and all of Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man animated series, because those will be available on day one. And also, if you really have so much time on your hands that you need something to watch, you can watch every episode of The Simpsons. Yeah, that's day one. And that's like, what, 300 episodes? 500? I don't know where are they at. They're in. I know they're in well into the hundreds.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's interesting,
huh? Right, I hope that makes you feel a little better.
Whatever.
I guess I'll just watch The Mandalorian like 12 times until.
Seriously.
So. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Well, no, it was a great. I'll tell you what. Comic-Con sounds like it almost. It almost made me wish I had.
We would never have gotten into Hall H. And it was funny because Kumail Nanjiani, who's in the Eternals, was up there, and they said, "Oh, you've been to Comic-Con before." He's like, "Yes, I've been to Comic-Con 12 times, and I've never made it into Hall H until today."
That's and also ridiculous. But yeah, no, I mean, it's a disaster. But it sounds like it was pretty cool. There was a lot more stuff than anyone would have thought that was all crammed into that
film. Oh, absolutely. I mean, like they really maximized their time. Like they really like showed a ton more stuff than I had expected them to do. I really thought we'd see two or three things, but I did not realize they would reveal all of Phase 4 in their con panel. I mean, exactly. Like, why wouldn't they save it all for D23? I guess we'll find out at D23, and that's end of August. Yeah. And we'll be here to cover it.
Woo.
So, awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Rob. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back to talk about more Marvel news that comes up and our next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you further on up the road.